Well, we have the last couple of times that I've been able to share with you, we've been talking about our faith and having an active faith and what that looks like, and you know, looked at a lot of scripture in Mark about our faith. And tonight, I had prepared this message on what I called an attractive faith, and I'm not going to talk about that. All week long, something has just, and I really didn't know till even this morning when I talked to Ron what it actually was, but God kept saying that he wanted me to take a different approach on this faith thing. So now, I got to warn you, this afternoon when I was working on it, Sandy was doing some things, and she went outside, and she came in, and she said, well, what are you speaking about tonight? And I said, well, I'm continuing to speak about faith, but it's not really like a message. It's not really a sermon. I'd call it more a devotional. And we're going to talk about infectious diseases. And it was about 15 or 20 minutes later, she came by and she said, oh, by the way, I don't think I'm going to go tonight. So I don't know what that leaves for you guys and what you think about infectious diseases, where we could go with that and what that has to do with our faith. But we're going to look at it because I think we can get something out of it. And if you want to turn to Leviticus. We're going to start in Leviticus chapter 13, and I encourage you to do that. If you're looking at the Bibles in front of you, I believe it's on page 107, but we're going to look at several verses there. And I got to thinking about common skin diseases. You hear about all kinds of skin diseases, do you not? So I looked up and I said, what would be a list? What are the most common skin diseases? So, you know, you can Google anything. And my list came up: psoriasis, acne, eczema, vitiligo, athlete's foot, warts, moles, hives, and shingles. All different kinds of skin diseases. And I want to look at in Leviticus. Leviticus is one of those books that just spells out how they were trying at the very beginning to plan out life and how to deal with things and what were going to be the rules and all of this. And chapter 13 of Leviticus tells us a little bit about how they were going to deal with these diseases. So let's look at 13 verses 2 through 4. It says, when anyone has a swelling or a rash or a shiny spot on their skin that may be a defiling skin disease, they must be brought to Aaron the priest or to one of his sons who is a priest. The priest is to examine the sore on the skin, and if the hair in the sore has turned white and the sore appears to be more than skin deep, it is a defiling skin disease. When the priest examines that person, he shall pronounce them ceremonially unclean. Now, I know there are probably some times that Ron, as our minister, feels like he has a very rough job, and he gets down, and a minister doesn't always have somebody to go to share everything that's going on in their lives. You know, they take on. But at least, Ron, you don't have to be the priest that whenever anybody had any kind of rash or skin disease or whatever, they had to come to you and be checked out and you declare them unclean. Yeah, okay. But that was how they did it. Let's look at verses 9 through 11. It says, when anyone has a defiling skin disease, they must be brought to the priest. The priest is to examine them, and if there is a white swelling in the skin that has turned the hair white, and if there is raw flesh in the swelling, it is a chronic skin disease, and the priest shall pronounce them unclean. He is not to isolate them because they are already unclean. All right, go to verse 18. When someone has a boil on their skin and it heals, and in the place where the boil was, a white swelling or reddish-white spot appears, they must present themselves to the priest. The priest is to examine it. And if it appears to be more than skin deep and the hair in it has turned white, the priest shall pronounce that person unclean. It is a defiling skin disease that has broken out where the boil was. Go to verse 24. When someone has a burn on their skin and a reddish white or white spot appears in the raw flesh of the burn, the priest is to examine the spot, and if the hair in it is turned white and it appears to be more than skin deep, it is a defiling disease that has broken out in the burn. The priest shall pronounce them unclean. It is a defiling skin disease. Verse 29, if a man or woman has a sore on their head or chin, the priest is to examine the sore, and if it appears to be more than skin deep, and the hair in it is yellow and thin, the priest shall pronounce them unclean. It is a defiling skin disease. And then, for some of you, I just had to throw in verses 40 and 41. You'll appreciate this. A man who has lost his hair and is bald is clean. There you go, guys. If he has lost his hair from the front of his scalp and has a bald forehead, he is clean. But if he has a reddish white sore on his bald head or forehead, it is a defiling disease breaking out of his head or forehead. The priest is to examine him, and if the swollen sore on his head or forehead is reddish white, like a defiling skin disease, the man is diseased and unclean. The priest shall pronounce him unclean because of the sore on his head. Now, what in the world does that have to do with anything that we're talking about? What I'm wanting to lead up to is that one disease that we read about so often in the Bible that seemed to be that disease that isolated. Truly, they felt that they were unclean and they were isolated from the rest of civilization, and that is leprosy. Leprosy is talked a lot about, and when I looked up leprosy and what we would define it as today, it says a chronic infectious disease that causes severe disfiguring skin sores and nerve damage. Now, in my earlier years in my studies, I learned that this leprosy, if it wasn't healed and if it didn't get taken care of, could get to the extreme that these skin sores could become so disfiguring that it would even disfigure the face so you couldn't recognize a person, and the nerve damage would become so great that it would become almost like we would call a gangrene type of disease, and limbs would actually fall off, that it could get so bad. So that's the type of infectious disease we're talking about when we talk about leprosy. Now let's look at verse 45 with that being said. Anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes. Let their hair be unkempt. Cover the lower part of their face and cry out, unclean, unclean. As long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone. They must live outside the camp. Now, people with leprosy in those days, when they say that they must live alone, they would put them together in a section outside of the town, outside of the city, outside of the walls and the gates of the city, in their own little camp outside, because they didn't feel like they were fit to be able to mingle with the other people. They considered them so unclean that they had rules as to how close, at any point in time when they were passing or in an area where the other public civilians were, of what they had to do and how close they could even get to a person that didn't have leprosy. If you were upwind from someone with leprosy, they could only get within 6 feet of you to have any conversation. So, you know, maybe from that pew right there, this is as close as I could get to them. But if you were going to be downwind from them, that wind was blowing from them into you, I would have to go out in the hallway, down the hallway, and almost probably to our kitchen area down here, because the law was that you had to remain 150 feet from those people that didn't have your disease, your leprosy. Now put that in perspective with verse 45 when it says, you also, when you saw anyone, now you're 150 feet away, and you had to declare to them that you were unclean. I mean, they had to be screaming it out. You know, their hair had to be, it calls it unkempt. Our word for that would be disheveled, not taken care of, you know, just a mess. And they're 150 feet away yelling, unclean! Unclean! Can't get any closer to me! Now, why that is so important to us is this disease, this leprosy, is what we today would term as an insidious disease. Insidious means that it's a disease that starts, and you can kind of see it, and it's kind of referred to here in Leviticus because it talked about you could kind of see it, but if it was more than skin deep, and insidious means that you might see a little bit of it, but down deep it's growing and it's worse. Cancer would be an insidious disease to us today. And they saw that leprosy as that kind of disease. I don't know if this looks anything like it does at your house, but this is very common in our house. Loaf of bread. I just pulled these out just a while ago, but it is very representative of how it would be. Another loaf of bread, and another loaf of bread. And down in the bottom of these two are, guess what? Yeah. On the what part of the bread? The heels. Now, to be honest, I kind of like eating the heels. I kind of like it, especially on my peanut butter and jelly sandwich to top it off. I kind of like the heels. But the other day, and this is part of what got me thinking about this whole thing of this disease. The other day I went to our drawer where we have the bread, and I pulled out one of those, and I got in, and sure enough, on that heel that I pulled out was just a little bitty speckle, just a little spot of mold. You've seen it, right? And I looked at the other two or three pieces that were in there, and I didn't see anything. That one had mold, but, you know, surely the rest of them are all right. So I got ready to fix myself a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and Sandy got all over me. She said, don't be eating that bread. And I'm like, there's nothing on these. And she said, no, there is. And we looked it up, and actually she is right. That would be very much that mold is very much like we're talking about this insidious disease, because it says that mold, when it starts on that loaf of bread, although you see just the point of it on one part of the bread, it is already infiltrated into the rest of the bag and through the other slices of bread, and that you shouldn't eat the other slices of bread. I've done it many times. I'm still here, but that's what it said. That led me to start thinking about our sin and how sin creeps into our life and how so many times in our sin we see the tip of the sin and we really don't get into that sin for it to grow, do we not? I mean, we don't dive in and say, here I go, sinful life, here I come. But somebody starts off just exploring a little bit or diving into this area a little bit or looking at this TV show a little bit or whatever it is, and it's like insidious. It just grows and gets worse and worse and worse. I had a conversation this past week with Reeves Flint, Reverend Flint. He's a retired Navy chaplain. And he said that in the Navy, they know that whenever they see an iceberg, that is only 1/10 of how big that iceberg actually is underwater. And it's kind of the same thing with the mold on the bread, with the disease on the skin, and with our sin. You know, so many times we wear this outer layer of clothing and we want people to just always think that everything's okay. I'm okay, you're okay, right? And it's so much worse, and we need a Savior so badly that will take that away. So what does that have to do with this? What does that mean for us if that's the case and this leprosy is so bad? And if our sin is like that, what does that mean? Let's look at Mark. Now we'll go to Mark chapter 1, verse 40. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. Now, you already know how their civilization looked at leprosy, right? Okay, here we go. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. Your version might say compassionate. Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest." Now does that make, when we read that in the New Testament, it's like, why in the world would he go to the priest? Well, we know because their law, they had to go to the priest whenever they had a skin disease. "Show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. A couple of things I want you to know and understand. This leper came to Jesus. From what we know about the law, he had to have broken the law because he got too close to him. Okay? And he says to Jesus, "If you are willing," not if you are able, get it? He knows he's able. He wouldn't even be approaching him. Why would he seek Jesus out if he didn't already know that he had the power to heal? But he tells Jesus, "If you are willing." And what does Jesus do? He's not only willing. Jesus basically breaks the law. Because you know what? You weren't allowed to touch a leper. If you did, you were unclean. Jesus reaches out and touches him, says, "I am willing," and heals him and breaking the law. But here's the deal. That is the extent to what Jesus is willing to do for the sins in our life. This story is about leprosy, but it's so much more than that. The story is really about what Jesus will do and where he will go in order to heal us and cleanse us from our sins. Wow. He says, "I am willing." And I think it's really funny, just the end of that. I don't know that it has anything to do with what we're talking about today, but I really think... I'm one that believes that Jesus, kind of when he was on, he really had a sense of humor. And I really think that he knew human nature and he knew this guy and he knew what human nature would do. And when he said, well, I mean, think about it. Whenever you tell somebody, "Now don't go tell anyone what just happened," what's the first thing they're going to do? Is run and go tell everybody they come into contact with, right? Okay, as Jesus says, "Now make sure you don't go tell anybody." But go, well, and the Bible says that he goes and starts telling everybody. But what that did, that story was so big and started getting out so much, and these things that Jesus was doing through his compassion for these people was growing so much that everybody wanted to see him, everybody wanted to be around him, they wanted to hear what he had to say, and they wanted to see these miracles that he was performing, and the crowds were growing so big that it says right here in our scripture that he had to go and stay in the outer places, in the lonely places, because the crowds were so big in the cities around him that he couldn't get any rest. He couldn't get everything done that he needed to get done. But yet, even in those isolated places, the people were finding him and coming to him. Let's look at Mark chapter 5. Beginning with verse 24. Leads us into this story. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there that had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out of him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" But Jesus, you see the people crowding against you. The disciples answered. You see the crowd. There's people. They're touching you all over. We're bumping into people. They're everywhere. How in the world can we tell who touched your clothes? Is what they're saying. And yet you can ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." A couple of things here. One, know and understand that this woman too was taking a huge risk of walking up and touching Jesus. She too would have been considered unclean. She had a disease that she wasn't supposed to get that close to people, and to be able to go up and get that close to Jesus and touch him, she knew that she was crossing the line. That's when she went back to tell him what she had done, and it says she was so frightened. She was frightened because she knew she had just done something that she really by law wasn't supposed to be doing. So the lady took a huge risk. But you know what? Her faith was bigger than that. Her faith was bigger than the risk. And I can only picture, I love this scene. You can just see him walking, and I get this picture of last week when I was on vacation, and I went to the NASCAR race in Daytona, and going in, and especially going out of that place with 200,000 people leaving at the same time, and you're trying to get on one escalator, to get down these steps, and you're just like, and you're trying to dive in front of somebody so you can be the next one, to get in line, and you're bumping, and you get pushed, and all of a sudden, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do, and that's kind of the way, you just see Jesus and the disciples are around him trying to keep people from him, but they're bumping into everybody, and they're just walking, and he's walking along, and all of a sudden he's just like, who just touched me? There's probably already been 100 people that have touched him. You got to know and understand that. So why was this any different? Because this woman's faith was so big, and she knew the power of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that he felt at that instant, he felt that power leave his body and heal that woman. He didn't feel it on the other 100 because it wasn't the same. But this woman had a faith that was so big that she knew she could be healed. And what I want us to know and understand tonight is that same power is the power that is available to us. It's the power that he is waiting to cleanse us of all of our sins if we'll only confess them to him and repent of them and ask for his forgiveness. And we can talk about the healing if we want to, but this story and the leper story are so much deeper and so much bigger than the physical situation that they were in. It was their faith that healed them. A faith that knew that Jesus had the power to do what they needed in their lives. The compassion that Jesus displayed for these people that he roamed around with was just indescribable. It was incredible. And I would ask you tonight, how many of you sitting out there could honestly say that Jesus has gone out of his way to show compassion on you? How many of you could give a testimony and be a witness for what he has done to put his protection over you and your family? Has healed you in certain situations? Has got you out of those areas where you worry so much about those little things in your life, and he proved to you that you don't need to worry about it. I've got it all under control. He does it time and time again in our life. How many of us in here can honestly say that he has just simply saved us by his grace? If he has done nothing more for us than that, that alone's enough. He died for us. He took on our sins. And now in this life we live, all we got to do is ask him to take them away from us. And he says, the Bible says he wants to do it and take them as far as the east is from the west. Just erase them from our lives. So, with that being said, how do we respond? Well, let's look at Luke. Luke chapter 17. And we'll close with this story. Luke 17, beginning with verse 11. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." That's probably after they had yelled, "Unclean, unclean." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner, the Samaritan?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." So the question tonight in your life, are you the one or are you one of the 9? Because I saw your heads nod when I asked the questions, how many of you would testify that God has put his protection over you? How many could testify that he has helped you physically? How many would say that he's helped you get through some worrisome situations? You guys were nodding your heads and all of that. So now here's the question. Are you the one coming back and being thankful because your faith has made you well? Or are you one of the 9? Notice that each time in each story that we've talked about, it was their faith that Jesus was impressed with. Didn't care about their looks, didn't care about their condition, didn't care about their status. But each time it was their faith that impressed Jesus. So where is your faith? And what are you doing with your faith? We talked this morning in Sunday school about our job description and how simple really our Christian job description is. It's really this simple. Love God, love others, go make disciples. In a nutshell, that's what we're called to do. Love God, love others, go make disciples. So we have to have the faith to go out and do that. What is your faith enabling you to do? And I want to end with this quote from Warren Wiersbe. He says this, "Faith enables us to understand things that God does. Faith enables us to see what others can't see. As a result, faith enables us to do what others can't do." What is your faith enabling you to do? because I think God's saying, let's get busy and put our faith into action. Let's pray.